This morning, my attention is turned to the second chapter of the Epistle to Ephesians, chapter 2, the first 10 verses of Ephesians, chapter 2. In this letter to this church at Ephesus, it was probably written while Paul was in prison in Rome. But he reminds the church in this first portion of where God brought them from. And this morning, that is the theme of the message, is where God has brought us from and how much he loves us and cares for us to bring us to this very point. Let me read it before I comment. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. I just want you to just grab the gravity. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Like right here this morning. Heavenly places in Christ Jesus. For by grace, and I love this, for by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. And I'm going to stop. I'm going to stop right here for the moment. Isaiah tells us in his book, "Hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness, ye that seek the Lord, look unto the rock whence ye are hewn, and to the hole of the pit whence ye are digged." Now that's King James. Let me read it to you in the New Living Translation. "Listen to me, all of you, all who hope for deliverance, all who seek the Lord. Consider the rock from whence you were cut, the quarry from which you were mined." Not only look back, you that have hope in the Lord, not only that, but let's go back before you had hope in the Lord. Before you even knew Jesus. I mean, you may have known about him. You may have heard of him. You may have gone to Sunday school. But before you really knew him, go back to where you were, where God brought you from, how lost you were, how lost I was. Might have been raised in the church all our lives, might have sat here four times a week as we used to have four times a week services, but not known him. Not known him, not really known him. Remember where God brought you from. A more difficult past. Remember. Peter writes with the same kind of encouragement. He says, "According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." He says, "Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth." I'm going to remind you, the Holy Spirit said, I'm going to remind you. I want you to think back. I want you to think back of where you came from. It. God has given us everything that we need to serve him. Made partakers of the precious promises and of the divine nature that we could serve him. Praise God. Oh, Lord, thank you so much. Thank you for what you have done. You walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in children of disobedience. We had our conversations in the flesh, carnal desires. We maybe weren't bad people. We didn't rob banks or do anything disastrous, but we were still in sin. We were lost. Every one of us needed saving. Every one of us needed to accept and to accept the blood of Jesus for the atonement of our sins, to recognize that we were sinners, to recognize that we were lost and undone. I love the scripture in Isaiah in the 6th chapter where Isaiah sees the vision of the ark and the cherubims and the throne, the vision of God, of Jesus really, that was his robe that filled the vision, and the three seraphims that were flying over and crying, holy, 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 and he was convicted. And that's what happens to us when we come in contact with Jesus. He says, I'm a man of unclean lips. I'm not worthy to cry, holy, holy, holy. I'm not worthy to worship the Lord. I am a man of unclean lips. And that revelation comes to us different time, different places. We're all different, but that revelation comes when we come in contact with the holiness of God and we see just who he really is. And we see our lost estate. No one has to tell you you're a sinner. No one has to tell you you're lost and undone. You feel it in the presence of a holy God. You feel it. That holiness, you just say, oh, I'm so unworthy to be here in his presence. Oh, Lord, thank you for the revelation. I think back. Can I take you down memory lane for just a moment? I was 15 years old when the Lord began to work. Well, it was really started sooner than that a little bit, but always been in church, always loved the Lord, but was a kid. At 15 years old, I remember my best friend growing up, Gene Junta. We played ball together during the summer, and one day during the week we were at Sublette Park and we were sitting on a bench, and that time the Vietnam War was going on and just started, and we were talking. Listen to this, two 15-year-old kids. We were talking and we said, well, I don't know, if we get drafted and we die in the war, we're not baptized with the Holy Ghost. We're not baptized with the Holy Ghost. Well, we shouldn't pressure our kids and we shouldn't make them feel like, you know, no, wait a minute. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We knew it was important. We didn't understand it all, but we knew it was important and we knew we needed it. We knew it was real. We've seen it. We saw it in operation in the church. We knew it. And lo and behold, several months later, a couple of the teenagers, I don't know who it was first, but they said, we want to take the water baptism. We still hadn't taken the water baptism yet. I remember going to the old church. I went to the back to get my coat or wherever it was, and Brother Lewis, our pastor, was there, and he says, Ronnie, for years I was Ronnie, as my uncles always call me Ronnie. I don't think I ever grew out of that. He says, Ronnie, you're taking the water baptism. And I said, sure, yes, yeah, I'll do it. And he said, well, you know, that's not, we teach kids to make their own decisions. But, you know, I look back on that and the Lord was working. The Lord gave, I believe the Lord gave Brother Lewis some wisdom and knowledge to say, I wanted it. I was kind of afraid to ask for it. You know how kids are. When one asks, then all of a sudden we get three or four that I want to take it too. They want to do it, but they don't want to be the first one. A little embarrassed. I understand that. And lo and behold, we ended up with 42 taking the water baptism. 42. Then, see, God always, God's working. God gave the man of God wisdom, understanding. That fall, we did this in July. That fall, our prayer meeting started. I don't know, 40, 50, 60 of us got baptized with the Holy Ghost. God was working. Oh, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. I think our young people, and I pray for them, I'm concerned for them. Especially for young people that go into college not baptized yet. Not that I'm concerned about them, that they're not adding up. That's not the issue. The issue is the enemy of our soul and the wiles of the devil and the schemes. He's a master manipulator. Supreme marketing and salesman. Convincing people they're living a life for destruction, going to hell, and happy doing it. Oh, here it is. This is the second floor. Aisle number 3, we have addictions. Aisle number 4, we have lusts. Go to up to level 3, floor 3, and there we got, let's see, what's on this floor? Oh, we got disappointments and discouragements and attractions. Reel you in. He'll lure you in. He'll deceive. He's a liar. Do your thing. Be your own person. Live the life. You think that's going to bring satisfaction and joy? It doesn't do it. We need Jesus. We need the presence of the Lord in our lives. In Ecclesiastes, it says it is good for a young man to bear the burden in his youth. What are you talking about? To serve the Lord in his youth. Don't grow up without the Lord. Don't grow up without Jesus. You may know him, but get closer, get deeper in him. Praise the Lord. Oh, Lord, help us this morning. Look what he's done. In time past, you walked to your own desires, your own thoughts. You may have been, we have kids raised in church that went astray. Went astray. Sowed wild oats, went out into the world. Did things, going to church. Parents took them to church, going to church. Did things. Got into drugs, alcohol. Bad company. But God. But God, who is rich in mercy. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. But God, who is rich in mercy. Oh, praise God. Oh, once we had a foul tongue, once we were caught up in those things, once we did our own thing, once we had no interest for church, no desire to be here. Talk about the Lord, it's like you're talking in a foreign language. What? I don't get it. But God, who is rich in mercy. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to his name. Even when we were dead in sins, for his great love wherewith he loved us. Oh, praise God. For by grace you are saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You know, I'd rather be in a heavenly place in Christ Jesus than be in the most beautiful mansion, have everything, every want, have every amount of money I can imagine, accomplish anything. Those are nothing. It's in Christ Jesus, praise God. Oh, aren't you thankful this morning? We're God. God saved us. God brought us out. God sought us. Praise the Lord. Many different avenues. You know, in the old church, the old days, everybody was related. Not quite everybody, but you know, they're all big families, and everybody was related and married in the church, because that's just the way it was at the time. That was, you know, 80, 90 years ago or so. But today, we've spread out, and God is bringing in others. Amen. Aren't you glad for that? Amen. Praise the Lord. God is bringing in others. And he's giving us a mind to say, oh, church, you gotta reach out. You got to fill the Great Commission. Amen. You got to go after the souls. Praise God. There's people hurting out there. We heard about it. We're praying for those people. They're hurting out there. They're lost and undone. They need saving. They need a Savior. Because this life goes by quickly, and all of a sudden we're 70 years old, 80 years old, and here we are. The harvest has ended, and we are not saved. That's where none of us want to be. But thank God, oh, remind us, and you hath he quickened. You were dead. You were walking around breathing air, and your blood was pumping, but you were dead, dead spiritually. You didn't know Jesus. You needed saving. You needed that revelation. You needed that experience. You needed that Damascus experience like Paul had. And all of a sudden, praise God. And listen to the best part as I come to a close. For by grace, you are saved through faith. And this is the best part. And not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. You realize that? He gave us grace, the unmerited favor of God, grace to believe, grace to reach out and to believe. What does James write? Every perfect and good gift cometh from above. We're nothing. The righteousness of man is as a filthy rag before the Lord. Oh, I see people, we're sometimes so puffed up, and we see people puffed up, and I'm this and I'm that, I'm the greatest, and the goat, you know, the greatest of all time, and call them this and that. We're nothing. We're nothing. It's only the free gift that God gave us of salvation. By grace, you are saved through faith. He gave us the grace to have faith, to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Oh my God. He cleared the confusion. He opened our eyes. He brought us to a place where we could hear the truth of the gospel and to revel in the presence of Almighty God. I think of the testimonies, and I look around the room of where people came from. Married someone who was far from God, and somehow God began to work and brought him into the fold. Our God rescued you from a bad past. And God didn't look at your qualifications. He didn't look at your abilities. He didn't look at your bloodline. He didn't look at your accomplishments. He looked at your heart. The free gift of grace is given to every man. Aren't you glad for that this morning? Lord, thank you for what you have done. I know this. I don't deserve to be here this morning. There's nothing I have done in my life. He said, well, Brother Ron, you've lived a clean life. You've served the Lord all your life. Yeah, fine. I don't deserve to be here this morning. It is only through the mercy of God, the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, thank you, Lord. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. We sing that chorus. Sisters, would you come forward? I'm going to stop right here. Where would I be? You only know, you only see through eyes of love. a hopeless case, an empty place, if not for grace. Aren't you glad for that this morning? Every one of us can say, yes, that's my song. I identify with that right there. Where would I be? You only know. And there were distractions growing up. No doubt about it. These young people, I pray for them. The Lord put a shield about them because there's more distractions. There's more attractions. The enemy has gotten more cunning in these days. Distractions at school. Oh, you're popular. You played on the teams. Oh, well, hey, can I have your number? You know, it's, why don't you go with us? We're meeting over at the so-and-so place, and we're going to have a good time, and who knows what goes on today. Distractions, attractions. The enemy tries to lure us away. He appeals to the natural inclinations of the flesh. Who doesn't like to be lifted up? Oh man, you're really handsome. You're really popular. You know, you're a great ball player, or you're a great this or that or whatever. And people like to be around you. Why don't you, you know, and who doesn't like that? Our ego is puffed up, and our ego is, you know, just pride. The enemy uses pride. So contrary to the word of God, humble ourselves. That's what the word of God says. We need to humble ourselves. Lord, thank you. Thank you for bringing us from a long, long way. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for witnessing. And, you know, maybe you're saying, well, Brother Ron, I'm not where I need to be. You're not alone. I think every one of us can say the same thing. I'm not where I need to be. I love what Paul says. I've not attained what I've been called to do. I'm not where I need to be yet. If Paul could say that, I surely can say it. And I know we all can say it. Lord, I'm disappointed where I am right now. But you know what? It's not too late to start. It's not too late to keep pressing for the kingdom. It's not too late to say, Lord, have your way in me. Lord, help me to be what you call me to be. Praise God. The weaknesses he can turn into strengths. The obstacles he'll remove. We had a message two or three weeks ago in Zechariah, and he had a word from the Lord. Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, thou shalt be made a plain. The mountains in our life, God can move. The weaknesses in our life, God can turn to strength. Not by might, he says, not by power, but by my spirit, praise God. It's by the Holy Spirit power. Amen. Amen, that we can live the life and walk the walk. And surrendering to him. A sister last week coined the phrase, active surrender. That's what we need, active surrender. Lord, help us this morning. And you hath he quickened who are dead in trespasses and sins. Oh, yes, we were all there. But thank God we're here now. Amen. I'm not where I was. Oh, no. I still got a long way to go, but thank God I'm here right now. Amen. God's called you. God's speaking to you and to me this morning. Be encouraged. We sang a song, I'm more than enough. I'm more than enough to carry you through. May the Lord encourage you this morning. May his name be praised. Do we have a song?